Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
Hello, my name is George Takei. Before we get started, we would like to remind everyone that this show is for entertainment purposes only. 3/4 of this crap is total BS anyway. The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts and should not be associated in any way with our guests and sponsors. If you are easily offended, we recommend you press stop right now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm. And who doesn't enjoy a good auditory orgasm? Oh my. Welcome to It Burns When I Pee.
Welcome to the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. For the past 6 years, the podcasting god,
hallelujah,
Blake Clayton, has brought you the best music, interviews, and comedy on the interweb. So sit your asses down, grab a hold of those handicap rails, grab a cocktail, and enjoy our next generation of auditory dysentery. Join Blake and his revolving door of cast members as they bring you another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio dial, I hear it's pop country. Those corporate jerk sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me. Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee. That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music biz. Cause now it burns.
Follow that, bitch.
It was storming, but the thunder didn't drown out. The shots rang out just a little too loud. The cops came searching in the dead of night for that guilty widow who used to be a wife. I guess they found me holding that gun with a bottle of whiskey, didn't bother to run. After telling me the news, I remember everything up to killing you. I remember the sound of sirens, the sheriff screaming out my name, telling me that someone's dying. Like it was yesterday, in the living hell, you run me through. I'm telling lies. Did I shoot you once? Did I shoot you twice? I put my hand on the Bible and I swore the truth. Oh, I swear I have no memory of killing you.
For the life of me,
what they say. I left no evidence when I left you for dead. At the end of the day, there weren't enough clues to prove your widow was the one who killed you.
I'll drink my corn whiskey and rye whiskey too, and the ones that don't like me can leave me alone.
Welcome back, folks, to episode 103 of It Burns an IP, and we have a special guest with us this evening. We've had her on many times. She's a songwriter. She's a musician. She's an Instagrammer. She's a Facebook fiend. A good friend, Kara Clark.
a Facebook fiend. I don't know about all that, but Instagrammer, yes, for sure.
So how are you?
I'm actually pretty good. A little tired. We've been playing the last two nights here in town with Jake Cox and JB Beverly, so a little worn out, but hanging in there.
There you go. Well, you're just about ready to release a new album, self-titled album, and it's your first release on Rusty Knuckles. Why did you decide to sign with the new label?
He and I talked for several months, even almost probably going on a year ago. We started talking, and at the time I was in a different situation, and one of my biggest kind of downfalls, I guess, was we couldn't get it out there. You know, the people that heard it loved it, and my fans supported it and shared it, but I was so frustrated that it was such a small group of people that heard it, and it was such a great record. And when I first talked to him, that was like his first selling point to me, was the distribution and the, you know, the iTunes and the marketing plan, and we had to do a video. And so that intrigued me about him some. And then he came and saw me live, and I still didn't really sign with him. I just kept talking. And basically the reason I signed at the end of the day was his strategy on his plan for me. Number one isn't, you know, putting me in a van touring the United States and no one's heard of me. He wants to keep me here, push the record, then put me out, get a video, push that, things that I've wanted to do all along. So that was kind of when I just said, okay, let's do it. And I think that was, I signed in December with them.
Awesome. So this is technically your third album. In your opinion, yep. In your opinion, what's different about this album than the other two?
And there's a big part of it that's not. I mean, we struggled with that. At least I did in my own head. You know, here I have a chance with distribution and all this marketing going behind me and this push for me. Do I put out a record to my fans that's maybe some of the same stuff they've heard for a year? But then I thought, you know, there's a large market out there that has never even heard of me, and I'm not going to trash a bunch of songs, you know. So what we did was kind of split the difference, and we dropped four, and then we added four. And on the new ones, I think there's a little bit of difference because they're piano-based, and that's something that's new to me, but I really stuck to my guns and wanted to show that side of me, and it's raw. Even to the point when we remastered some of the old stuff, I pulled off some things because some of my stuff at times was a little too over, I don't want to say overproduced because I don't want to, I love it and I stand behind it, but we kind of rawed it up a little bit. I pulled a bunch of harmonies off. I changed some guitar work, and then the new stuff is very stripped down. We purposefully did not overload it with instrumentation. We, you know, it's my voice, and it's a piano and maybe some strings, and that's it. We just stuck with that, which that's something in the past I've had a hard time dealing with. I always want to bury everything and just, let's add this, and let's add a bell, and let's have a whistle, and then let's add some ghosts, you know. This time it was, let's take that off. Let's take that off. And then, like I said, the new stuff is just me. You know, they're like, just let your voice be the instrument, and so I agreed finally after 12 years of burying myself.
So my question is, why is Highway not remastered and on the new album?
I knew you were going to ask that, asshole. I hate that song. I'm not even allowed to say that publicly. Don't hate your own song. I don't hate the song. I think it's a well-written, great song. It's just not for me. It's just, I wrote it, you know, I can't deny it, but for everything else that I've got going and the new stuff and some of the old stuff, it just didn't fit anymore for me. Everyone still, I mean, even my best friends are like, you're stupid. It's one of your greatest songs. I'm like, no. I think it's cheesy, to be honest with you, between you and I, because I take pride in my lyrics, and that was like a 10-minute song, and, you know, I think it's just cheesy, so out the door it went. I'm going to pitch it to Miranda Lambert or somebody.
There you go.
Somebody make me some money.
So you and I and Amish BJ finally met at Muddy Roots last year, And so one of the things I wanted to ask was, how much more awesome has your life become since you've met us?
Well, I can't even talk about it because I get teary-eyed, because I'm just so grateful to have met you and BJ, and it just upsets me.
it upsets you?
It's just, I get emotional thinking about how lucky I am.
Well, we're still waiting for that royalty check since, you just seem to burst on the scene after that first time of being on the show. I mean, I'm not trying to, implement anything, but... I expected
Dude,
some.
I'm waiting for a royalty check. As soon as I get one, I'll give you a cut.
Right.
For sure.
You'll send me that check. You'll send me that check for 32 cents.
It may be, if it's that much. I don't know. I think you're pushing it, really.
We talked just, we jokingly at the beginning of the show talked about Facebook and Instagram, but you're very active on all the social networks. Which one is your favorite, and why?
I want to say Twitter because, let's get real, I'm really foul on there, and my mom's not on there, my kids aren't on there, so I feel like I can just be more me and not worry, where Facebook, I always say Facebook, I'm like PG-13, and Twitter, I'm like XXX, but I can't deny what Facebook has done for me. I remember when my mother was asking me to sign up, and I was like, no, I have no desire. But then I did, and, I think there's a total of 9,000 people on there between the two pages, so I can't, not say I don't appreciate it. There's days I don't even want to do it. But all of my fan base has just been from the internet, from friends telling friends telling friends, and right. I have to, give the credit to Facebook, and I, don't laugh, but MySpace started it all for me.
Right.
That's when I kind of blew up with the Sennett record. But then it switched over to Facebook. So I like them all for the most part. I get annoyed sometimes, but you have to do it. There's times I want to shut them down. But then, people, my friends, are like, you can't.
Right.
Because that's what I think people, for me, in my experience, people like that personal side of me, the side they don't think I am. They listen to my music or they view my photos. And I think people assume I'm unapproachable and dark, and then I post on Facebook the most ridiculous, goofy things, and the response is overwhelming because they love knowing maybe that they know a little bit about me or
it's that personal connection.
My dog's famous, actually, on there.
Right. I mean, I actually have my next question was, we've seen your very, very lazy dog
yes.
quite a bit on Instagram, and I was kind of wondering, are you feeding him wine? Is he drinking wine with you during the evenings, and that's why he's always passed out, or?
I think that I'm going to have to take him to some kind of dog whisperer, because he's going through some kind of funk right now, to be honest. But I've had him for 6 or 7 years, and he's never been awake for more than maybe 20 minutes at a time, so he's popping pills or something. I don't know. He's a mess. He's very codependent and lazier than me. It's not a good mix.
Have you tried to use the new video on Instagram?
No. I can't add any more. I can't. I saw the people doing the Vine thing, and I got dizzy when I looked at it because it was all twitchy, and So, no, I haven't tried the video thing on Instagram, but I might. You never know. I could take video of Baxter just sleeping.
Right.
Good at that.
15 second shots of Baxter sleeping.
Right, because that's all it does.
So the record... Sleep. The record came out on July 9th, and,
yeah.
We were talking earlier about, your plan to, the new label's plan to kind of progress you, kind of start over again and progress everything, and touring-wise, eventually are you going to get out on, and are you hoping to get out and tour nationally?
Yes, that's what I want to do. There's a... Part of me, like right now and in my past, I don't enjoy that. A lot of people, that's their favorite thing about being a musician is the touring. Well, it's not for me. It's not. But, I was also told, well, when the crowd is singing along and you're making money and, you're sold out, you're going to like it. I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense, But it's tough. It's tough getting out there. It's not an easy life. And then I have to, I'm a solo artist, so I have to pay a band. It's not four dudes as one band splitting the bill. It's me, you know, they're backing me. So it's hard, and that's why I don't, you know, people are like, you know, come out to Phoenix. I'm like, I can't. But I think, you know, eventually, hopefully, that's what I want to do, because it will be enjoyable then. I will be able to feed my children off playing, you know, gigs. So it might take a turn in my heart how I feel about it. But, you know, I'm a songwriter, I think, first and foremost. That's what I love doing. But that was another thing with Rusty Knuckles, was seeing his acts and what tours they got on. You know, he was getting them on some pretty big tours. So that was appealing to me, because I already gave him my list of who I need to open for and made a demand. He was like, okay.
Awesome. You know, there's a song that you wrote called Wake Up that you posted on YouTube. Can you kind of talk about why you wrote that song and how, why it's important to you?
Yeah, I am, well, you know, I'm a smart aleck and not innocent by any means, but I totally, the cyberbullying thing really bothers me. And I've seen a lot of people going back and forth on the social media about it. Well, we were tougher when we were that age, and, you know, I see all that. But what people don't realize is we didn't deal with the social media at our age. You know, if one person had a bully, it might have been one or three people, you know, at lunch. These kids are dealing with a video that goes viral, and millions of people are calling them a whore, and they're killing themselves.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's fair to say, well, we need to raise tougher kids. It's not the same situation. So it always kind of bothered me, and I took interest in it. And then my daughter had a small issue, nothing on the, you know, scale of what goes on and we read in the news, but she did have a little boy that bothered her, and I tried to just stay out of it and tell her, you know, turn the other cheek, and it got to the point she was crying and screaming in the front yard, and I pulled a redneck, because, listen, I turned West Virginia in, like, 2 seconds, because I was going to, oh, I'll take care of it myself. So I go down the street barefoot to the house, knocking the door down. I was just going to take care of it, and the boy came out, and I confronted him myself, and I thought to my, man, he's scared to death of me. He was, like, shaking, just, you know, not a bully anymore, all tough. And about that time, I turned around, and my son's behind me. So he was scared of my son's 6'6", 350.
Right.
So I thought, all this time, this little boy is so scared of me. And it was my son he was scared of. So we ended that. We didn't have any more trouble after that, but I started playing the piano this year and just started hitting that D minor and wrote it, and I called David, my keyboard player, he has a studio. I was like, we have to record this song, you know, and it's got a pretty decent response. You know, I don't promote too much about it because it won't go on my record or anything. It's free. It's a free download on Reverb Nation. I don't want any money off of it. I just think people need to realize it's not a cool situation. And in the song, of course, because I'm Kara Clark, you know, I blame the parents of the bully, too. I blame, if you're raising one, you're just as guilty, you know. And also, if you're not aware your kid's that depressed and going to kill themselves, well, you need to open your eyes.
Right.
I think there's a lot of people to blame in the whole bullying thing.
Well, we'll definitely put a link up to it in the show notes so folks can go check it out if they haven't already.
Okay.
So if you went on a national tour, you know, what would be in your contract? What would have to be in your dressing room before every show?
For my router, I would have to have red wine. We all know this. You know, I'm trying to get a box wine sponsorship. It's not working out.
I was going to say that if anybody was to sponsor you, I don't see how that wouldn't be the first people to sponsor you.
That's what I'm saying. I photoshopped myself in, like, one of those boxes. Like, look, come on. Frosty all over my tour bus. I don't care. I don't know. You know, food for sure, because I love food. Food and booze. Maybe some smokes. I'm not real demanding person over here. I always laugh when I read, like, really, really, really big stars, routers, and it's like, you kidding me? You know, they just want the most ridiculous things and mannequins and goats. I don't know. I think food. That'd be my biggest thing.
And a dog bed.
I don't even think he has the energy to tour with me, really. I don't think he could even climb on a bus. He's so tired.
You wear him out. I don't know.
He's awful. He's incredible.
There have been rumors of a Broadway musical co-written by you, myself, and Chris Miller called Highway. Now, when can folks see this project, you know, getting completed?
I'm thinking summer of 2030. That's what I'm hoping.
That's what you're hoping for?
Yes. But I think it's going to be awesome, though.
But I think if you put me, you, and Miller in a room with some paper and a pen, I think we could crank it out in like 2 hours.
No, because Miller would be wasted in 20 minutes.
That's true. I would have
to. He is a blast. He is so much fun, but out of control.
It's always.
Please don't play this anywhere. He knows he's out of control. We love him. But I think we'd have a blast writing it.
Oh, yeah.
And then we could pass out or something.
And I'm sure at the end of it, when we read it back, it would make no sense whatsoever.
No, definitely. Definitely not. I learned my lesson on that kind of stuff. I did some demos one night, and we thought they were the best damn demos ever that night. We were high-fiving. We were spirit-fingering. And the next day, we had to delete every bit. It was so awful.
So what is your favorite song on the new album?
I think that's a tough one. I'm really proud of Memory Loss, only because it's a piano thing. I'm not, you know, playing the guitar, playing an instrument is not my thing. I wasn't born with that like some people are. I struggled to teach myself the guitar, and I struggled to teach myself that piano. And then I wrote that song, and I'm proud of it. But I love Relapse. I still love that song. I think everybody needs to hear that song. I love Living Proof. That's a song from, well, you know.
Yeah.
That's years old. So it's a tough one because, you know, they're all awesome, Blake.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like asking that question, because either the artist is going to say, oh, I don't really have a favorite, or he's going to say they're all fucking awesome, you know?
They are. Well, he said, you know, the label, I'm so bad, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but I am, but the label was like, what's the single? And I'm like, they're all awesome, you know? So, whatever.
Well,
I think 1925, because we put the banjo on it, and we did some vocal work on it, and I think it's awesome, too.
It's definitely,
I love them all. I'm proud of it.
It's definitely a good album, and you can tell that you've kind of stripped some stuff out, and I think that kind of enhances of what the songs are about. You don't kind of get lost in all the stuff. That's what I noticed out of it.
Oh, good.
But what do I know?
Definitely did.
I'm an idiot.
Well, you know me. What else do you need to know?
Right, exactly. So where can folks go to get the new album and find out, you know, what's going on with Kara Clark, besides the 7 Facebook pages?
Right. Well, it's on, you know, it's on the Rusty Knuckles site, Rusty Knuckles Music. It's on that site with the t-shirts. I got new t-shirts, a new logo and everything. But, you know, with the new distribution that he's working with, it's iTunes, Amazon, everywhere, and in stores, as far as I know. So hopefully it's just wherever you look, there it is. I mean, grocery store, gas station, where you are.
You can just put like a stand of the CDs next to like the wine section.
I know that. Well, eventually I'm going to have my own wine. I'm going to. Mark my words. It's going to sell. It's going to make me millions.
There you go.
Because I think I'm more famous for my dog and my box wine drinking than I am my tunes.
Well, that's why I get a kick out of you. Well, that and you.
I know.
That
everybody.
And then you put up with crazy text messages and crazy Facebook posts, and don't call the cops.
Yeah,
on me.
You texted me telling me what kind of mood I have to be in for this interview. Like you're important. So I straightened up. I did some jumping jacks already.
There you go. Well, do you have your bonnet and sunglasses on?
I had to get rid of those.
Oh.
Those lasted about an hour.
Well, Kara, as always, it's awesome to have you on the show. I wish you all the best on with the new label and with the new album coming out. And, you know, when you get big and famous and you have your own line of wine, you know, make sure not to forget about us.
Oh, never. We're all celebrating together, all of us.
Well, we played Memory Loss and Whiskey and Cigarettes before the interview. We're going to play Preacher's Hands and followed by my favorite, Highway.
You asshole.
All right, dear. It was good talking to you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
On the one horse town. Hello, I'm Christopher Walken. IBWIP is an interactive show. That means get off your asses and get a hold of us, baby. You can call into the show live or leave us a voicemail. The number is 1-203-429-4711. It's free, so dial it up now, I implore you. You can also email us with questions or comments at blake@ibwip.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to your Pia Vision YouTube page. All the links are on the front page of ibwip.com.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.